Oh, okay. Hello.
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 Hi. Hey, boy, I'm going to have to really ride levels with all these people. I am going to be so screwed here. We're here with the Damwells. It's been an exciting, exciting morning so far, but we will not go into that because, you know, months from now, we'll see if this actually airs because we'll see if they let me, you know, actually be here. But we'll just leave that all alone for the moment. So, for starters, would you all pretend this is like to tell the truth or, you know, Wheel of Fortune or... They don't do it on Wheel of Fortune. Would you sign in, please?
Sure. My name is Ted Hudson. I play bass.
I'm Stephen Terry. I play drums.
Hey, Stephen, get a little closer to the microphone. Come on. Are you in a band
Here
or
I
what?
Am. Hey,
are you
Stephen,
are you in a band? Do you know how to use the mic?
Yeah, I do that. Speaking to the mic.
Jeez. Are you guys sure you guys didn't just show up for like the frat party or something? I think you guys just showed up for a frat party. That's what I think. What did you just pass him? Gum? You're going to chew gum during my interview?
Do we need really to have good breath for radio?
All you can hear... That's going to be lovely.
Great.
Okay. Well, somewhere in the middle you were introducing yourself, so go ahead. Do it again.
Oh, so Stephen Terry, and I play drums.
Right. You look like a drummer.
Oh, thanks.
But this is radio, so no one will know. But they'll go on the website and they'll figure it out. Guitar boy.
I play guitar and I sing. My name's Alex Deason.
It's David Chernus, guitar and that's it.
That was almost a joke.
David put on his sunglasses for the web photos.
It's very bright in here.
So he looks like a rock star. Hey, is it okay to be a bar band from Brooklyn and sound like a? Okay, I'll start that question again. I blew the question, and I will not edit that out. Is it okay to be from Brooklyn and sound like a bar band from Omaha?
I think so. It's better to sound like that than to sound like every other New York band that's out right now.
You mean you don't want to sound like the fill in the blank here? We'll do like blanks, like the S with another, you know.
Right, with the trokes in the middle.
Yeah, with the trokes in the middle.
I mean, you know, and they're fine, but it's just they've spawned an incredible number of bands that sound exactly
Well, you know what I think the bigger problem is? I'm not going to ask questions. I'll just postulize on the show. I think the problem is that reviewers don't know what to make with rock and roll anymore.
Yeah.
So it's a lot easier to just turn around and say, their Strokes like, which they think is helping the party. And the Strokes are thinking, what do we do now? Who do we sound like?
Right.
Right. Well...
I think in their wildest imagination, the Strokes don't sound anything like the Stooges. And that's not really to say, you know, it's not really a diss on them. It's more of a compliment because you can't really sound like any, you know, it's like people, if people say that, you know, we sound like this band or this band sounds like that band, it's just someone's inability to really describe the music within, you know, words that people can understand, you know, by saying it sounds like, I don't know, melodic or it sounds like, you know, maybe like angsty rock and roll or maybe it sounds like, you know. It doesn't suck is always a good one.
Doesn't suck is a great one. So now you don't all hail from Brooklyn, so let's tell people where that expression hail from come from. I don't even know.
I don't know.
Where did hail from hail from?
I think it's a nautical term.
Hail. Sounds like Texan to me.
If you're going to talk, you have to be on microphone, okay?
It sounds Texan to me.
Don't make me mess with my levels that much, for crying out. I reckon it's Texan. Okay.
Well, I'm originally from Ohio.
Where in Ohio?
Springfield.
My favorite place.
Oh, yeah. Mine, too. That's why I don't live there anymore.
It's actually a very nice town. I like your town.
I like your town, he says. I like your town.
I'm from Princeton, West Virginia. And it's basically in the middle of nowhere, and no one lives there except for me.
Who the hell's from Brooklyn here?
None of us. No one in Brooklyn is from Brooklyn.
You just landed up in Brooklyn.
Yeah,
because Brooklyn's groovy.
He's from Brooklyn. Queens, is purgatory.
Williamsburg or
Dave lives in Williamsburg.
Okay, so that's why you're wearing the sunglasses.
Exactly.
I got there 10 years ago when it was nothing but crack vials and
took advantage of all the free stuff, I would imagine.
Well, I was so naive that I thought that there were little Avon perfume samples that I was, and there's like 500 of them outside of my loft in the morning. And I thought that maybe
you're putting the stuff on. He's saying, interesting. Okay, you recorded. This is from your bio, so get ready because you know you pull the bio out, you get asked dumb things. You recorded the album for a major label in a Manhattan mini storage and another part in Alex's home. You recorded it was. Were there like good acoustics in locker 3343B? Is that why you recorded the album
Absolutely.
In a Manhattan mini storage?
Well,
say
we
that three times
broke.
Fast.
Yeah, being broke really affected.
Yeah, flat broke.
And then same thing with Alex's house. You know, he has a great ability to record music, which was very surprising for his first time out, basically. And his house was free. So there, once again, it worked out perfect.
Did he make you pay part of the rent? Like, if we make it, you have to pay me back for the rent for the use of the house?
No, it was free.
It was all free on Alex.
Pro bono.
What? Pro bono.
Pro bono. Mm-hmm. Okay.
I mean, that's kind of why the whole music business is different now, because of the technology that's available. You can make your own record.
But yours sounds good. There's a lot of make-your-own-records that kind of sound... Beep, 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 beep.
No, but I think you have to have an ear and be a good engineer, but you can buy the equipment for $3,000 now versus...
No, hey, right there. Grand. We're recording on it. Yeah. You know?
Exactly.
Yeah,
and then after that...
All the Brian Wilson
and we didn't,
in the world
we didn't actually record it for Epic. We recorded it, and then Epic bought it. Yeah. So.
Well, I'm getting there. That's question number. I'll get there. Okay. I did my...
I just want to clarify there.
Okay. I think a lot of that, too, is people trying to make something that sounds like a record. No one ever made any of this intending... for it to be a record.
So, you intended it to be like a matchbook cover.
Yeah, well...
a tortilla.
We thought it'd be a bunch of recordings.
We'll record a tortilla.
That's right. Someone said, well, maybe it should be a record.
Crepe, yeah.
You know, it wasn't recorded for being a record. We thought it could be used for anything, but it just...
Every once in a while, these interviews turn into an episode of The Monkees. I think it's my fault, but that's okay.
It's the shirt.
We're constantly compared to The Monkees.
Your shirt.
Yeah, I know. It's my shirt. I understand.
It's a nice shirt.
Thank you. we'll go there another time. Lots of replacements, Wilco Goo Goo Doll comparisons in the reviews.
Mm-hmm.
Who do you want to be compared to?
I think we just covered that question, didn't we? I don't know. I don't want to. I don't care. Whoever anybody wants us to be compared to.
We want to be our own person.
But you're not insulted by any of
those. Oh, of course not. I wouldn't be insulted by anything. I mean, I don't know. It's just, you know, if I were to take stock in what people. You know, how people compared our band to other bands, I wouldn't be able to, you know, I wouldn't be able to leave the house. I'd be so self-conscious of what I was doing, you know. So
mm-hmm.
It doesn't really matter, you know. If someone was buying the record, they say we sound like Chick Corea. I don't care.
Chick Corea.
That would be interesting. That's kind of a long stretch.
Yeah, that would be interesting. And I'm sure most of my audience have never heard the first two EPs. See, I did my research.
Uh-huh.
Were there some gems on there that didn't make it to Bastards of the Beat? Like, should people be like searching those out on eBay and, you know, someday millions of dollars for those two EPs, the ones you put out yourself on those two weird, independent, probably your own labels?
Yeah, I mean, I think so, because, Sleep Singing was on the second release.
I noticed
that. The first release was, I think, six songs.
I don't know.
But anyway, it was very early on in the band's existence. And we actually still get some requests every once in a while for one particular song called Fourth Avenue. But those are people who have, you know, either
they've followed
around and found the old stuff or...
Right.
Or their family.
Yeah,
their family.
This is your uncle. I have a request for...
Exactly. But actually, and I saw a signed copy of the second PMR, which is what it's called.
On eBay?
On eBay that was signed.
Did you bid on it?
Well, no.
Did you get it?
It had already been sold. And it went... We were selling those for $5.
Well, how much did it sell for?
$30.
Woo! You guys are getting rich.
We are.
We're going to start a little.
That's quite a profit margin.
Yeah.
Wow. That's like six times the market. Woof. Wow. I'm floored by that.
Oh my God.
So part of the genesis of your band is in another little band called Whiskey Town. And,
Jesus.
And these days that Ryan Adams guy is showing up everywhere as kind of the Americana John Bryan. You know, I mean. Are the Damwells going to be as much trouble, or are you all nice guys? I mean, any plans to get in a fight with Jack White?
Yeah, hopefully. I mean, I'm trying to set that up now.
I know, he beat the hell out of that guy, man. I'm kind of...
He'd probably beat me up.
I think we're going to set that up. I think we're going to put David on Jack White. Or maybe his girlfriend or ex-wife or whatever she
is.
I mean, Ryan,
I like Jack White.
This interview is not about you, but Ryan pretty much like suddenly is on, you know, every session and everywhere.
Well, it's the old saying is, you know, of any press is good press.
Oh, and he went for the D press.
Everything works. Anytime you can get your...
I get an email every week saying, are you playing Wonderwall yet? Are you playing Wonderwall yet? And I keep listening and I'm thinking, okay, all right, but... You know, I mean,
he's everywhere.
He's everywhere. He's everywhere. Your bio talks about, and this is like speaking Jack White segue. Here we go, about using tube amps and the like. So tell me about the Damwell sound.
That's all, Dave.
Dave, tell us. Dave, I'm going to be the progressive DJ. Really, tell us about the Damwell sound.
Yeah, really simple. Just, you know, yeah, tube amps, drums, and bass. I mean, just like,
and know. And the decision. I'm going to continue in the progressive vein. You know, and the decision to use tube amps. What did you intend to portray?
they just sound better, I think.
Yeah, I agree. It's like, so do you guys have vinyl? Is there vinyl out?
No, we've been trying to get Sony.
You gotta pull
to
it through, you know, as we're about to play a CD. Mm-hmm. Those zeros just don't, you know.
Yeah, I know, right.
They are what the heck they are.
They're sounding better all the time, though.
The name of the band?
It's Steve.
The Damwells.
Oh, the name of it is Steve?
No, that's Steve's. That's Steve's department.
I mean, I've got the wrong band. You know, man, we got in trouble earlier.
Isn't this the Steve band interview?
The Steve band.
This is the Steve band interview. It's just an inside joke between Alex, Ted, and I when we first met, and I don't know. I don't know if maybe they were making fun of me or something like that. But
we
started calling each other, you know, these weird, crazy names, and they were, and so we just stuck with it. I'm not sure. It ended up first it was Alex Deason in the Damwells. And,
that sounds great.
And then he asked to join the band.
Dino, Desi, and Billy, right?
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. Dino!
So he asked to join the band. Ted and I let him in. So,
how kind.
And then, yeah. It was a lot. Ted really didn't want it to happen, but I talked him into it. And
good times.
So back to the sound a little bit, which means we'll have to go over to the left side of the room, or stage left. You're right. The sound, was it based on kind of folks you admired when you were kids? And yes, this is the official influences question. Who did you all, but I phrased it a different way to make it a little more clever.
That
so,
was very clever.
You like that?
That was sneaky. If yeah. You hadn't pointed it out.
That's part of the fun. So did you, who'd you listen to? One by one, let's go from, you know, whoever. Who did you admire when you were kids and how did it get to your musical sound? Mm. Which you then combined today.
Well... I mean, when I was when I was a kid, I listened to a lot of jazz because my parents
back to Chick Corea,
right? But that doesn't really influence the sound of the band at all.
But thanks for that. That was really helpful information.
This could take all day.
That was really useful.
I'm going to cover everything that doesn't influence the band.
Okay, I don't know about you guys, but okay. It's hard enough to get into the studio, never mind having it for long enough to need it at this point.
Tom Petty, The Replacements. Geez, anybody else want to help
Steve?
Me out?
My influences, I think, were I listened to a lot of old-time early country. And then on the rock and roll side, it was all Zeppelin and Black Sabbath kind of stuff.
Guy from Virginia saying old-time early country. I just want to like cut that out of the interview and just, you know, play that before something country-esque. Before the amazing Rhythm Aces, you know, just have you say old-time, you know, it's beautiful.
Yeah, that's good. Well, that's what it was, old-time country, and it was good stuff. So that kind of stuff. And
so good stuff, like Waylon and Ronnie Millsap
Waylon,
and
Buck.
The good stuff.
Waylon Wilson.
Buck. Can't go wrong with Buck.
Merle Haggard. And Buck.
Merle Haggard, the real stuff.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to this alt-country.
Yeah.
Alt country,
or worse yet, candy country.
Oh. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Ooh, that's really.
Oh
crime.
No, please. Let's.
Or cowpunk.
It's too warm in here to go there.
It's
just
as
Alex.
I grew up listening to classic rock. You know, I mean, I had an older sister who's kind of listened to everything before me. When she went to college, she left all of her records and stuff like that. And it's, you know, it runs the gamut of all kinds of rock and roll.
Next.
For me, I guess when I was about 5, my parents got a new hi-fi, and they...
Hi-fi, you gotta love it.
Yeah.
Nice.
So my dad rolled the turntable into my room with his
Was
his
it
records.
Like a Garrard turntable? You know?
No, it was like a Sears turntable.
Oh, those are beautiful. And the bass. We had the console stereo, and it was like all bad. It wasn't real bass. It was...
Yeah, it was real thumpy, but...
Right. Right, but it had lots of bass, and your parents say, "Wow, that sounds good, doesn't it, son?" And
yeah,
like,
yeah.
No, it really doesn't.
Well, yeah, it sounded like an old jukebox or something.
Right.
So I inherited all the records, which I, from 5 to 8, it was, it was Meet the Beatles, Fabulous Ventures, Bill Haley and the Comets' first record, Duane Eddy, and I think there was one more in there that I really loved, Jackie Wilson.
Nice.
Yep.
And that's I just listened to those records over and over and over again.
we'll remember that. We'll play some of that as part of when we put it all together. That'll be fun. So let's see. What else do I want to do here? Oh, I know. It says right here, question number 9, let's listen to a cut or two. And then it says, what am I playing?
That's my favorite song.
Do you like What Am I Playing?
That's a great tune.
Well, how about this? Why don't we listen to the single, and then we'll come back and we'll do something live.
If we can play What Am I Playing, that is our favorite song, especially after like 4 or 5 drinks.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Damwells with What Am I Playing.
It's up to you now. This place is filling up with smoke. And you won't let me breathe in or out, so I resolve to cut my own throat. And I would never change, not for anyone. Sometimes I
I could take a plane right to you if I could just stop running. And what if all this was true? I will keep the bank from calling. I will keep those bastards from you. I will keep your smile from falling. This time the casualties were few, 'cause we kept the hamsters running. We kept our hearts from view. This time we're problem solving. Catch it while you can, it's the feel-good hit of the summer. Catch it while you can, 'cause there won't be another. You keep the bad names coming. I'll make the jokes real funny. We'll keep the skeptics humming. And someone else will take the money. 'Cause we kept bastards brawling. I'll be the sour in your tummy. Who'll wipe the nose that's running? Catch it while you can, it's the feel-good hit of the summer. Catch it while you can, 'cause there won't be another. I will sleep above the covers. I will love you like no other. I will be your dad and mother. I will give you older brothers. I will feed you fries with steak sauce. I will keep the price below cost. I will lead the way from all is lost. Catch it while you can, it's the feel-good hit of the summer. Catch it while you can, 'cause there won't be another. Won't be another. I will keep the bad things from you. I will keep the bad things from you. I will keep the bad things from you.
Okay, so what's funny is that we've never tried that before. That was actually pretty darn cool. We actually snuck that in. That was live. Did anybody figure that out? I mean, because it sounded... Wow.
It sounded like a whole band was with him in the beginning.
Didn't it, though?
It was amazing.
By the way, what cut are we playing off? You've got it there, just so we get that over with now.
Kiss Catastrophe.
Okay, what cut is that?
That is number 3.
Okay, good. Professional. You see, after we did that really good segue there, you want to be as completely sloppy as possible. That line about steak sauce, I almost lost it.
You know, there's a certain element to, I think, a lot of the lyrics where you're kind of supposed to lose it, but I think that people are
yeah, but you're singing so seriously.
Lose it, I mean laughing.
You're singing it so seriously, and right. Then it's like the fries and the steaks, and you're like...
Occasionally, people will actually laugh when they hear some of the lyrics and some of the songs, because it's not supposed to be like, you know... It's not like Eddie Murphy funny, but it's supposed to be somewhat funny, you know, and people just don't really know what to do.
I took my daughter to see Shrek yesterday, Shrek 2, you know, she's going to be 3, and I'll tell you what, Eddie Murphy funny isn't really.
Oh, it's not anymore.
All that
but
funny
I mean,
anymore.
Yeah,
it's like Chevy Chase funny.
Yo,
used to be really
funny. Get out of here. And it's a donkey. Big deal.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sorry. Donkeys don't talk like that.
They just don't.
You can open the door again if you want, you know, that way someone can wander in, or we can just swear.
That way someone can wander in.
Okay. Major label signing. I hope you didn't have to do. I'm going to read this like I wrote it. I hope you didn't have to do one of those awful showcases like the ones I saw at the Viper Room last week. I went and saw 2 showcases at the Viper Room. Band came on for 15 minutes, 20 minutes, 120 record company people in the audience going, I don't know about that. Yeah. And the worst part, I mean, this is the Viper Room. They blew smoke onto the stage for both of these bands. Like the colored lights went ding, 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 and smoke.
There you go, baby. That's a rock show.
Yeah, we never did
I couldn't believe it. Smoke. When's the last time you've seen... Careful, there was a guitar accident the other night. I mean, smoke. But did you have to do the showcase thing?
No, we never did a showcase.
Thank God.
We never did a showcase. We never, you know, there were
somebody
requests,
heard you and called you up and said...
Yeah, the guy who signed us at Epic used to come. He's like a freak. He used to come and see us play like all the time.
What's his name? We can send this to them and he can know he's a freak.
Oh, Ben Goldman. Ben Goldman. Everyone knows Ben Goldman's a freak.
We love Ben. We love
he
Ben.
Used to,
awesome.
Like shows where there'd be like two people. It'd be like my mom and Ben Goldman. You know, yeah. He was just like
he's a freak.
He just loved.
Devoted.
He now there devoted. Wasn't anything going on between your mom and Ben Goldman.
Not that I know of.
Wow, I didn't that. That
could be now. I'm
that could be
wondering.
The real.
Not that I know of.
That could be the real story of how you got signed.
It could be.
Oh, no.
My mom is quite a catch.
Hello, yeah. Ben.
She's
Ben,
she's
about Alex's mom. This is not The Graduate, and you cannot do this. Thank you, Ben.
Ben was devoted to us for a while, and. There was actually a lengthy courting process between the two of us, and he bided his time and waited for the right moment to pounce. And
to pounce.
Well said.
To pounce.
Well said.
And,
good times.
Did he pounce?
He pounced three.
And then,
two or three times.
Well,
he's, yeah, he's
and
done
then,
to
and then when it
I'm not
going
to attach this to Alex's mom.
When it worked out, it was very natural and very beautiful. And a lot of candles and...
It wasn't weird afterwards.
No, he called us
right
away.
Hey, where are the damn wells? Here it goes again.
Yeah, it was, you know, it is what it is.
This is too much fun. So you've been touring with Juliana Hatfield. Are you guys fans?
I've been a fan for a long time.
She was actually, I was reading yesterday, and I don't have her questions with me because, you know.
We can answer them for you if you want.
I'll bet you can. But BBC 6 said she was the number four most eligible and attractive indie babe.
That's not true.
Oh, yeah. She's number four.
But only number four.
She's not eligible.
But only
number
four.
I'd say number one, but she's not eligible.
Yeah, she's not eligible. Only,
well, she's not married, so she's eligible, but.
Huh.
You know.
That's that Southern Charm coming at you.
Yeah, there you go, Steve.
But it's not her, but I know it's not her and Lemonhead Boy because he's now taken with a model. Because we interviewed him a while back.
Oh, you did? Yeah.
That was a story, and we won't even go there.
Okay.
It was like the beginning of the tour. That was really interesting stuff. We'll leave it. Poor Evan, yeah.
Yeah,
well, Evan's. People will be hearing that interview as part of this somewhere near yours, too. Yeah. So we'll just.
You know, Juliana Hatfield to me is what Winona Ryder. Wants to be like when she, you know, like in her the way that she wants to be this like badass, you know, like
and
kind
she
of
really is
iconoclastic, like you know,
she turns
like
37
yeah.
in July.
Really?
Yeah.
But Juliana Hatfield really is that person.
Yeah.
I mean, she's not shoplifting at Barney's, but you know, she's
not that we know of.
Not that we know of.
Not
yeah.
We know of.
But she's like, I mean, she is.
She's amazing.
She's remarkable. Yeah.
And then. You're doing a follow-up. We talked about him, but let's talk a little bit about Jesse Malin. So, I mean, do you like the fact that you're kind of these tours are kind of being packaged in that way? Is this good for your audience and for getting people to the band and understanding and all of that sort of thing?
Oh, yeah.
Well, one thing, they have music fans. They're not little, you know, little clicky, like, oh, you know, hooking onto something that's new and hip.
Right.
Jesse has music fans, and he does pretty well. It's just like Juliana. She's... every night's been pretty good. You know, it's not been sold out. No, none of the clubs have been sold out, but every night she's got real music fans, and we sell CDs to these people. So we can always tell if it's a good tour or not, how much merch and how many CDs we're selling every night. So
okay,
I think they are good for us as a building block to something else.
Okay, ready for this one, though? But what about opening for Cheap Trick?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
What's our favorite topic of conversation?
What are their fans like these days? Because I'll be very... I'm going to get in trouble for saying this, but I did get their latest CD, and I've got it. Mm-hmm. And I did get it.
All right, we'll just leave it.
And you have it there.
And
you
I have
go.
It. And I've in fact I have a two copies of the single, and I have a promo copy of the album that I probably could sell on eBay to some fan. And I have it.
They're tremendous live.
But that's what I'm saying is that new and days. Just to now turn it into a positive. That new CD doesn't do anything for what the band's all about.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I can't really say. It's
I
not really
heard it.
I have I. I mean, we toured with them pretty religiously last year. We did about 5 different tours with them. And, you know, I think that at that point, when you're that intimate with a live setting of a band, their records, I mean, Cheap Trick, their old records are, I mean, we listened to before, you know, we ever toured with them. But, I mean, as far as, like, new records and stuff like that, it kind of becomes, like, I don't know, like, anachronistic. It's just not really,
ooh, big
you know,
word.
Well, hey, you know, I didn't go to college. I've been waiting to use that word all day. I have a list in the van and I cross them.
Anachronistic.
But it's like, you know, it's just like I don't really need to listen to their new records because I have the live performance to me is like, you know, I mean, it's just like, it's just, that's really, you know.
I know, they're pretty amazing.
Any album, you know, they're such an incredible live band that any album, it's just, it's impossible to recreate the
same. It's okay,
I've
got it up there. Yeah. I knew it was going to do that. It always does that. It always runs out of partition. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about Pro Tools here.
But yeah.
Yeah, none of the records do them justice.
It's impossible to recreate the kind of energy that they have live on record.
Mm-hmm. It's impossible for any band to do that. And that's not the point, making records.
I mean, record is a different medium. It has to be. Necessary.
So are you guys harder live?
Yeah, of course.
It depends.
Yeah. Do you like softer rock? Live, too.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, someone just wrote on our message board the other day that we were like that we were slowing down tempos and that we weren't rocking out as much on the record.
Oh, dude!
But you know,
that's nitpicking, isn't it? Yeah.
Exactly. Oh, but, dude.
Know, oh, dude.
But you know,
thank you for that squeak, David.
your chairs are kind of squeaky.
Welcome to public radio. I can make you wouldn't believe the noises I can make in this.
Let's make.
We go in the main studio. I can play like an entire violin concerto on the mic stand in that studio. If you guys are,
I'd like to hear.
But we're kind of known. We're known for that on the air here. I actually am in the habit of squeaking the mic and pushing
it
around.
I like it too.
It works out well. We were talking about Cheap Trick. Okay, we started talking about this off the air, but now this is going to give us a chance to really do this. So
uh-oh.
I'm making this, it's 2 questions. I'll do the easy one first. I'm making this damn well sandwich, and like you guys are the ingredients. What's the bread surrounding it? Like if you could play any of your songs and we could play some music around it. And that's not the what are you listening to question. That's the what do you want to hear around your music?
Anything off of... any George Harrison records?
George Harrison.
All Things Must Pass, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, All Things Must... You scared me there, because, you know, any George Harrison.
Yeah, that's true.
That's a little too broad, isn't it?
Yeah, there's a couple of George Harrison things we could have some issues with, I suppose. Yeah.
I agree.
You know, the long version of Hari Rama is a little... you know.
I got you. I got no disrespect.
Don't get me wrong, All Things Must Pass. Now, are we talking All Things Must Pass, the remastered version... Or the, you know, the original over-echoed Phil Spector version.
I think the new version.
Because, you know, there's no high-end on the original. Any Phil Spector, there's no high-end whatsoever. You think there's high-end, but there isn't high-end because the meter just stays there for the whole thing. So it's compressed and crushed to a point of, you know, it's like, now nobody, was anybody in New York in the 60s or 70s to hear WABC and what that radio station sounded like?
No.
Any top 40 station in the you know, in the 70s, the meter never moved. It just stayed right there.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Well, those Fairchild compressors, I think.
Yeah, exactly. And it stayed right there. Mm-hmm. And nobody who's listening knows what the heck we're talking about. Yeah. But if they listen to me, they know that I talk about stuff that they don't care about.
Right.
And they listen to that.
That's right.
So it doesn't matter. Okay, George Harrison, couple number two.
Couple number two. I would have to say, I think we have a lot of similarities to the Church.
The Church. Now they have a new CD out too.
Yeah, I think that they're.
But are
early...
we doing more Under the Milky Way and like the hits or Metropolis or are we,
oh,
or
God,
something a little more esoteric?
I don't know. I think the first two records, their first two records, were really amazing, trippy, but really melody oriented records.
And the fact that they're
the
back is kind of amazing.
Yeah.
Kind of wild. Alex? What would your mom like to hear?
The band.
The band.
I guess I'd agree with her. Yeah, sure. My mom was a big fan of the band and Dylan.
Okay.
Okay,
well, now you.
Now me? I guess I could second the band notion and Dylan, of course. I mean, for some reason
anything
that,
by the band? Life is a Carnival up on Cripple Creek. Which way are we going for the
band? Cripple Creek.
When
not,
I paint my
not really
masterpiece.
Life is a Carnival. Well, that's a Dylan song, really. And,
yeah.
I mean... Probably for me, like Cripple Creek, like what's that song?
Cripple Creek, just even though you know it's overplayed on classic rock radio,
it's still
just funks. You know, it's kind of like I think Red Hot Chili Peppers stole some of their funk
yeah. And the weight.
From the
know,
band. Yeah. The weight, yeah, absolutely. Wait,
and also, what's that song, the Night Old Dixie...
The Night They Drove Old Dixie Down?
Yeah, They Drove Old Dixie Down. That's
the one
great
that Joan
song.
Baez made him all that money on?
Yeah. Right.
That's a great song, too.
Except hers is kind of, Virgil Caine. It's a little different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Virgil Caine.
Across the Great Divide.
David?
Two songs. You know that Emmylou Harris song, Wrecking Ball, off of the Daniel Lanois?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The second one is... entitled The Blimp off of Trout Mask Replica by Captain Beefheart.
For me, it would be Tropical Hot Dog Night.
Tropical Hot Dog.
If we're talking about Beefheart. Beefheart is a church, really, that you visit every once in a while.
It's a temple.
Doo-Wah Diddy. I played that a while back. That was like his almost sort of kind of hit single.
Yeah.
And yet, you know what? The harmonica in there sounds like Paul Revere and the Raiders. I mean, it's kind of bizarre how it all kind of...
Good,
you know,
jackets they had.
Yeah, they did. All that stuff just kind of connects in a strange way. Okay, on the bus. What's on the bus? The van, the bus.
The van. A lot of T-Rex and
Electric
Warrior. The Stooges.
The Tom Petty.
Tom Petty. Yeah.
Is Tom Petty okay these days? I mean, is it okay? Petty still cool?
Yeah. I think the Echo is a great record. I think the song Echo is probably one of the most beautiful songs he ever wrote.
And you know, The Last DJ is a great you know that record, song, too.
Yeah.
And I just picked up a new copy of Def Leppard, Hysteria.
Thank you for that.
It actually sounded good. We were like, man, this is great stuff. So
it was really long. The record's really long.
It's
pretty long.
Yeah, it is really long.
It's really
like,
long.
All the songs are like, you would think that they, you know, pop radio, whatever, it would be like less than 3 minutes.
But it was different back then.
They were like 5 to 6 minutes long.
But it was different back then.
I got another one for you. And there's the songs are somewhat superfluous as well. That's another word for it.
Superfluous.
Yeah.
Ow!
Or maybe just indulgent.
Okay, so to get that bus set started, first of all, thank you.
Oh, yeah, thank you.
And what are we playing? So we're going to get that set started for real, and what's going to literally happen on the second half of the show is the rest of it's going to be everything we just talked about.
Cool. Oh,
which we're not going to have time. I wish we could listen to it all now.
I know, that would be fun.
But, you know, you have to get back to the van.
No, we don't. Let's just keep going.
It smells in the van. We'd rather be
here. Don't put us back in the van.
We're going to Del Mar.
7 hours.
Yeah, exactly. Where are you playing next?
San Diego.
There you go.
And we're stopping at Del Mar on the way down there.
Yeah.
Staying on the beach for the day.
You're gonna go to is the racetrack open?
I don't know. There's a racetrack.
Ponies or
Del Mar? Yeah, absolutely. I know this for reasons that we won't talk about. No. Uh-huh. Oh, that just went the wrong way. What are we gonna close with, guys? Well, it's queued up right there. So don't.
Oh,
Kiss Catastrophe.
Kiss Catastrophe.
Don't mess, God.
The one that's queued. Play that one.
Yeah, play the one that's queued. That's okay. My favorite one.
Thanks, guys.
See ya.
Thank you. To lie.
everything.